So today is the glorious appearance day of Srila Dvaitacharya. And so we're going to read a little bit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this morning we'll speak more or less about Tattva. That means who Dvaitacharya is. And this evening or this afternoon when we have the class, we'll be speaking about some of the pastimes, because we may touch on some of the pastimes this morning too. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda I'm just going to read one verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, translation commentary by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And this is from the Adi Lila, chapter 6, text 12. So, Jagat Mangala Dvaita Mangala Guna Dham Mangala Charita Sara Mangala Yandragam. So, I guess we can do the word by word synonyms. Jagat Mangala. All auspicious for the world. Advaita. Advaita Acharya. Mangala Gunatam. The reservoir of all auspicious attributes. Mangala Charitra. All characteristics are auspicious. Sada. Always. Mangala. Auspicious. Yandranam. Whose name? Translation. Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. So, being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes. Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an acharya, or teacher. All his activities and all the other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is the fountainhead of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons in the material world who refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living being from conditioned life become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruitive activities or of personal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of the material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Advaita Prabhu is non-different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu and his activities can bestow all good fortune, directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same, because all the activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala was another name of Advaita Prabhu. As the causal incarnation, or Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is the supply agent or ingredient in material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him becomes glorified himself, for such activities free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest stage of perfection. So, Om Gana Chandra Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Un Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, speaking about what's called Dvaitacharya's ontological position, another word for that is tatva. That means tatva basically exists as that which is, that which is the truth. Sometimes the word tatva is translated as truth, but it's actually that which exists. In other words, according to the Bhagavad Gita, nasato vijate bhavo, nabhavo vijate sataho, ubayor abhidrishto antvas, tvanios tatva darshavihi. That those things, tatva darshavihi, which is very interesting, the same word is used in that particular verse, those things that continue to exist are considered tattvas, and or truth, or reality. I mean, there's different ways of expressing that. And those things which have come into existence and go out of existence, in other words, temporary nature of this material world, that's not actually a tattva. Although the material energy is a tattva because it continues to exist, but the various manifestations of it are not eternal or not considered reality. So unfortunately in this material world we become very much attached to the temporary manifestations, much like a little child becomes attached to a soap bubble when he blows a soap bubble and he tries to catch it. But you really can't get a hold of the soap bubble. Hare Krishna. Well, and you can't really catch the different mutable aspects of this material creation. So, anyway, so this is what tattva is. Tattva is that which exists and doesn't cease to exist. So, in the Krishna consciousness movement and Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we have something called the Panchatattva. Panchatattva is not the same as Panchatantra. Sometimes people mispronounce that. Tantra means those things that connect you, and there's right-handed tantra and left-handed tantra. But tattva means the five essential truths that always exist. And these are described as follows. Of course, Panchatattva consists of five persons who manifest these truths, or the truths are manifest from the persons. That is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Vishnu Tattva. So again, we're using that word tattva. In other words, he's God. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the source of all other Vishnu Tattvas, he is considered Vishnu Tattva because that's a category. You understand? Actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nayanya. In other words, it's described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna appearing as one, In other words, Krishna in the mood of Radharani, so you get the combined incarnation. And then the next member of the Panchatattva, Pancha means five, of course, is Lord Nityananda. Of course, Nitya means eternal, and Ananda means happiness or bliss, as the devotees often translate it. So Lord Nityananda is also Vishnu Tattva, that same category. He's God. Now, of course, we should understand that there are not two gods, or not three gods, or not unlimited gods, because we hear about the various incarnations of the Lord that are described in the Bhagavatam like waves in the ocean. The waves in the ocean, they come one after the other. They are innumerable. And Prabhupada at one point said that Krishna has incarnations in every species of life. So, in other words, you cannot count the different incarnations of Krishna. One misunderstanding that people have about these various incarnations, especially the animal incarnations, they think that God evolved. You find this sometimes in South Indian Tirupati. There's that misconception that you climb the hills to Tirumala, and then you have the fish incarnation and the tortoise incarnation. You know, just say God evolved, and finally he becomes Vishnu and Krishna. Anyways, it's not that he evolved. Advaita Chuta Nadi Rananta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. There's one God, and because of his nature of being playful, and this is what pastimes means, lila is the word, he appears in a variety of ways. Actually, Krishna doesn't have to do that. We have to do things. With the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no imperative that he has to do anything. Because Parashya Shakti Rivadaiva Shivite Swabhavaki Jnana Balakriyacha. Krishna has multifarious shaktis or potencies, and these potencies are perfectly capable of carrying out all of his different functions. So he can just sit back and watch TV all the time if he wants to. Of course, he doesn't want to do that. So Krishna expands in these variety of ways just to for his own enjoyment. Welcome. For his own enjoyment, and they're all the same person. And that's the nature of God, because he is Ananta. He is unlimited. And he has Ananta Shakti, too. Not only Ananta Rupam, he's Ananta Shakti, unlimited potency. So he can appear in unlimited places and unlimited different forms, all simultaneously. It's not like the yogi expansions. Yogi expansions generally describe nine different forms, and they're like television expansions. In other words, they're usually doing the same thing. Sometimes the yogis are different. Like in Shobhari Muni's case, in the Bhagavatam we're reading right now, he had 50 wives, so he had to expand in 50 different forms. Krishna, when he appeared 5,000 years ago, actually it's over 5,000 years now, we keep saying 5,000 years for the next 10 million years. Anyways, when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he had 16,108 wives in each and every home. He was enacting a different pastime, doing something different, which is pretty... Narada Muni was amazed to see that. And sometimes the people question, oh, Krishna, 16,108 wives is unbelievable. But the Prabhupada said, we say that Krishna only had 16,108 wives. Actually, Krishna's maintaining Nitya Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananami Eko Vahodam Yoga Dadati. Come on, Krishna is maintaining all the living entities since time immemorial. So in that sense, everyone's Krishna's wife, because everyone's prakriti in relationship to Krishna. So, in other words, all these different expansions, because we were just talking about Lord Nityananda, who is the Vishnu Tattva, and as well as Lord Chaitanya, he's the same as Lord Chaitanya. He's Balaram Hoyla Nidai. And even though he's the same, it's very interesting that there's different pastimes executed by each of these different Vishnu Tattva incarnations, and sometimes it appears they're not even aware of what's happening with the other Vishnu Tattva incarnations, which is quite interesting. And of course, this is because of something called Yogamaya. Yogamaya means, of course, that's the internal potency of the Lord, one of the Shaktis, expansion actually of Srimati Radharani. And of course, the Yogamaya expands as the Mahamaya. But Yogamaya means does various things for the Lord. And she arranges all the different aspects of the Lord's pastimes in the spiritual world. And also, she puts the Lord into sort of, you could say illusion. He forgets that he's God. Or he forgets what the other incarnations are doing. It's quite interesting. Voluntarily. It's not that he's forced. Krishna's never forced, as we say, it never has to do something. Whereas with ourselves, we are actually forced to forget things. We're forced to forget that, you know, we're eternal servants of Krishna. We're forced to forget what we did yesterday. This is the actions of yoga, Mahamaya for ourselves. But Krishna voluntarily says, okay, I want to forget that I'm God. So I can enact different pastimes, intimate pastimes with my devotees. And then Krishna also says, I want to forget what I'm doing simultaneously in unlimited places. And so sometimes it's incarnation. We have that story in the Krishna book where you have the Mahavishnu who kept stealing the Brahmin's children. You know, the Brahmin kept having children and kept dying. Finally, Arjuna says, you know, I'm the great Arjuna and I'm going to protect this Brahmin's children from dying. And what happens is not able to protect because he's taken a vow to kill himself. If he wasn't successful, he gets ready to kill himself. And Krishna says, that's not a good idea. And so then Krishna takes Arjuna on his chariot and he pierces through the coverings of the material universe. This is a story in Krishna book, in case any of you are interested in reading the Krishna book. He pierces through the coverings of the material universe. You know, they're so bright, the Brahmajyoti, there's darkness and everything like that. Finally, he sees Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu said, basically, I made this trick so I could see you. And Krishna appears like he was unaware of the whole thing to begin with. And Mahavishnu is just like, appears to be the supreme controller. So these are different pastimes that illustrate the point that the Lord, in order to enjoy, because actually he is the supreme enjoyer, he puts himself under these different illusions so he can have fun. I mean, just like little children sometimes, they play the parts of cops and robbers or whatever. Or if they happen to be devotees, they play the part or the parts of Krishna's pastimes. So this is Krishna. He's playful. He's enjoying. Try to remember always that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And whatever he does is for his enjoyment. I mean, he has his own psychology, too. I mean, one of the reasons that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates appear in this world, the external reason, was to save us, basically, and propagate the Sankirtan movement. But also, there's the internal motivation of the Lord, where he appeared in order to understand the love that Srimati Radharani had for him, or has for him, sorry. He appeared to want to understand his own attractiveness or beauty from Radharani's standpoint and wanted to enjoy it like his devotees enjoy it. So these are various motivations the Supreme Lord has. So he does have his own psychology. It's not that, you know, he's enjoying without psychology or he's formless. I mean, he has motivation and he's experiencing great compassion for us. As far as we're concerned, we have this verse, Namo Mahavanyaya, spoken by Rupa Goswami, Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namle Gordatasena. You're the most beneficent personality of Godhead because you're giving what no expansion or personality of Godhead gave before, Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema Pradayate. So in this way, that's one of the Lord's motivations. You know, he's enjoying himself, but he has his own psychology. It's not just mindless enjoyment. Like we'd sometimes like to enjoy mindlessly. Like the other day I was trying to take a sled down the snow. That's mindless enjoyment. It has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, nothing to do, I mean, maybe to the psychology. But Krishna's enjoyment is always rasa, always interactions with his devotees. It's always love. Like everything Krishna does, it's interesting, is actually love, because Krishna is the enjoyer of rasa. And rasa can only be experienced, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, with members of the same species. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, sometimes people think that they're experiencing or exchanging rasa with their dog or cat, but not really, because there's not really communication. One entity is thinking one thing, another entity is thinking another thing. So, of course, we are all the same species in the sense that we're all spirit souls. So Krishna, this is actually Krishna's enjoyment. There's no mindless enjoyment in Krishna's pastimes. It's all exchange of mellows. You know, it's not that Krishna is by himself and he goes water skiing or something like that, or whatever. You know, it's, you know, the reason Krishna, let's say Krishna dancing on the heads of the Kaliya serpent. It's not that he just danced on some rock that had no consciousness. So there's an exchange of rasa with Kaliya. You know, there's also indirect rasas being exchanged, you know, the ghastliness and anger and things like that being exchanged with Kaliya. And Krishna arranged that his associates in Vrindavan would witness this exchange with Kaliya, and then they would feel fear, compassion, and all these indirect rasas were exchanged. So really, that's Krishna's enjoyment. It's rasa. You understand? It's always exchange. It's not mindless. It's not with matter. In other words, Krishna is not just like enjoying, like I may enjoy, for example, let's say if there's something soft or whatever. I don't have anything soft here. But let's say there's something soft, some fur that's not attached to an animal. And I just, and you know, it's really enjoyable for me. But that's not really rust. In a real sense, it's not an exchange of mellows. In one sense, you could say it's rust. But it's not an exchange of mellows. So everything Krishna does is based on an exchange of mellows with other entities, either his Shaktis or the Jiva souls. It's always like that. Or with Lord Shiva, who's a special category. It's trying to remember that with Krishna's pastimes. It's always love exchange that's flavored by, you know, the indirect process. And so with us, right now, Lord Chaitanya is compassion. That's why Mayapur is called Odarya Dham, you know, the compassionate Dham of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So try to keep this in mind when you think about the Lord's pastimes. Anyway, so Lord Nityananda is not different from Lord Chaitanya, and he's Balaram, original spiritual master. And then you have Dvaitacharya, who's also Vishnu Tattva. Now, his Vishnu Tattva situation is quite interesting, because there's some statements that may appear to be contradictory. So you have some statements that he's Sada Shiva. That's one statement. Another statement, you know, Sada Shiva. So you think, Shiva, is he Vishnu Tattva? And I'll explain that right now. That the origin of Sada Shiva, or the Shivas in this world, Shiva, is actually, the word Shiva is a name for Vishnu. It means auspicious. So the origin of all the Lord Shiva, the Rudras, and like that, that we experience, of course, that we experience or that we know about, may not experience all of them right now. The origin is Vishnu Tattva, because Lord Shiva expands from Lord Vishnu. So, therefore, Dvaitacharya is described as that original source of all the Lord Shivas in this world. That's one. That's why it's called Sada Shiva, rather than just Shiva or Rudra or other names that Lord Shiva may have. Now, he's also called Mahavishnu. So, Mahavishnu, of course, Mahavishnu is also the source of Shambhu. That's another expansion of Lord Shiva. Shambhu, of course, is the progenitor in this material world who emanates from the Mahavishnu's glance. Let's say he arranges his pastimes with Maya or Durga. And because of that, and that Shambhu has within his seminal fluid, for lack of a better word, all the living entities, which are ourselves. Because at the time of the cosmic dissolution, all the living entities are lying dormant inside the Mahavishnu. Sometimes people get confused and they say, well, the source of the jivas is the Mahavishnu. I mean, I've seen this argument sometimes people give about why or how we didn't come from the spiritual world. I said, well, it says we came from Mahavishnu. Yes, we did come from Mahavishnu because it's when creation, but that's not the original source of us. We did come from Mahavishnu because when the creation was dormant, we entered into the Mahavishnu. And we remained in a state of suspended animation. Then we came out through Saikshita, the glance of the Mahavishnu. And that glance is called Shambhu. And Shambhu consorts with the, it's called the regulative matrix. That's how Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur refers to it. That means Maya. And then we're put into various bodies in this material world. So Advaitacharya is that Mahavishnu. Now, he's also described as the material cause of the creation. So, you know, all these different descriptions, they sometimes appear to be. And then sometimes Mahavishnu is described as the efficient cause of the creation. So, I was thinking about this, you know, he's the material cause of Mahavishnu, but he is Mahavishnu at the same time. So, the way it's explained by the Acharya is that Mahavishnu has two different aspects to his personality. And when you're dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, each aspect of the Lord's personality is a person. And it's the same person. You know, so you really have to understand the principle that Lord Chaitanya taught of what? Achincha Veda Aveda Tattva. How something can be the same and different simultaneously and inconceivably. And of course that principle pervades every aspect of our philosophy, from the relationship to from the jiva souls to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the relationship of the material energy to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the relationship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with its various manifestations, or relationship with the anyway, so it's just like everywhere this Achincha Veda Veda Tattva philosophy. It's important for the devotees to understand it. So Mahavishnu has two aspects. First of all, he is the material cause of the creation. How can we say that? Well, when the Mahavishnu breathes out, what happens? All the universes come out. That's the material, the pradhana. It's called the pradhana, is the technical word. That means the unmanifest stage of the material energy of three modes of material nature. Pradhana. And so he is the cause of the pradhana. So when he breathes out, and we know when he breathes in, all the universes, they shrink up and they come within him, or he breathes out. And not only from his breath, but actually from all the pores on his body. And it's incredible if you think about it, the creation of the material energy. I mean, the scientists have been trying to figure out, and of course, they have this thing, ex nihilo, which means that something comes from nothing. Or that, you know, that there was one point and the point exploded, and they don't explain how it exploded. Like that. I mean, scientists have so many theories about these things. But we actually know about the creation because the Lord just breathe out, and they sweat it, basically. And actually, all the pores, the universes came out in seed form, and they expanded, and then the Lord glances within each and every universe and puts it. So, getting back to Advaitacharya, so Mahavishnu has these two aspects to his personality. He is the material cause, remember, and also the efficient cause of putting the living entities in. So, Advaitacharya is sometimes described as the material cause, and he's not, as Prabhupada comments here in the verse, in the purport, he's not material, but he's the cause. Like, they could say Krishna is the cause of the material universe. So that's Bhagavad Gita, of course. I'm the source of everything. But that doesn't mean he's exactly the same as everything. So Mahavishnu or Dvaitacharya is the material cause, but he's not material. So, in other words, as the Mahavishnu, all the things, all the universes come out of him. So that's the explanation. It's very interesting. You know, you split the two duty, the two aspects, or the two manifestations of the Mahavishnu. You split them up, and then Dvaitacharya is one of those specifically. So this is a Dvaita Tattva, and I'm going to read some verses that I've compiled about. Actually, there's a few more things, and I'm saving the pastimes for later deliberately, because in the evening people don't like to hear Tattva so much; they like to hear pastimes. So anyway, I'm going to read from the Gaura Ganadesh Tipika about Advaitacharya. Rajayavesha Rupatvad Yo Yo Pi Sadashivaha Saiva Dvaita Goswami Te Chaitanya Vina Vigraha. Sadashiva is an expansion of the Supreme Lord in Braj and is here known as Advaitacharya. He is non different from Chaitanya. In other words, that's the Vishnu Tattva category. So it's described in Braj, Advaitacharya is a coward boy. And, Sadashiva is a coward boy, and he dances along with Krishna. This is described also in what's called, in a book called the Shiva Tantra. And I'm going to read the quote from that. Once during the Diwali festival, the month of Kartik, my guru, Shankaradeva, saw Krishna dancing with Balaram, the coward boy. He became desirous of becoming a coward boy himself. And he began to dance, spinning like a whirling wheel for Krishna's pleasure. Thus, by Krishna's mercy, Sadashiva plays two different roles in Braj. In one, he is Shiva himself, and the other, he is a coward boy. And actually, there's more roles. This is from the Gaura Ganadesh Tipika. He's actually a gopi, too. Gopishvara Mahadev, because there's that story that he wanted to participate, or at least observe, the intimate pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. And the interesting thing is that no one who is male is allowed to see these pastimes, so he takes a female form. And also there's that story, famous story, that when Narada Muni wanted to perceive these pastimes, Lord Shiva, as the Dikpala, he prohibited Narada Muni from entering. He said, look, if you want to see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, you have to take the form of a gopi. So, therefore, bathe in the Kushima Sarovara. And there's a specific corner of the Kushima Sarovara where you bathe and you become a gopi. So he became a gopi. So, anyway, that's Lord Shiva and Narada Muni. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita, another, you know, a few quotes about Tattva, which I have a lot of quotes. Then this is from the diary of Swarup Damodar, describing the ontological position, that means who he is basically, of Advaitacharya. Mahavishnu is the master of the universe, which he creates through his power of Maya. Advaitacharya is the incarnation of this form of the Supreme Lord. He is known as Advaita because he is none other than Hari, as Acharya because he is the preceptor of devotion. I take shelter in the Supreme Lord, Advaitacharya, who is an incarnation of a devotee. It's interesting, we're going to tell the story tonight. One time Mother Sachi called Advaitacharya Advaita, rather than Advaita, because she said he's two-faced. Because she blamed him for convincing Vishwarup to take sannyas. But then we'll tell that whole story. And that's an interesting story because it shows us the danger of committing offenses, even in your mind. And here's a quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Maya has two functions, and Mahavishnu appears in two ways according to these functions. When he is within the material world as creator, he is the universe's effective cause, that's Nimitta Karana, and his form is Vishnu. And the manifest, unmanifest material energy Pradhan appearing in the form of Rudra, he has a second identity as Advaita. So that's the, you know, splitting off the two aspects of Mahavishnu, which I did before. And that really explains that, you know, he's Mahavishnu because he manifests one of the aspects of Mahavishnu, which is the material cause of the creation. Remember that, because you'll be asked that question in your test. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written about Advaita Acharya and his Anavasha. That means his commentary in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, is the supreme preceptor. Vishnu's activities are auspicious because of his existence as the owner or master of the universe. He is the root cause of all auspiciousness, source of all auspiciousness. Anyone who cannot understand what the complications which are ever present in the material universe are beneficial in a way which is pure, eternal. That means the complications we're experiencing, very interesting statement, are beneficial in a way that is pure, eternal, and complete, and free, is deprived of his true spiritual activity, devotion to Krishna. Now, let me unpack that. That's quite an interesting statement. That I'm phrasing it a different way. We must understand that the complications that we experience in this material world, such as birth, death, disease, old age, adiyadmi, gadi, bodhi, gadi, daivik, are beneficial. And if we don't understand that, we're deprived of our devotion to Krishna. Wow. What a statement. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's statements, so you really have to unpack them sometimes. So anyway, this evening we're going to talk about some of the nectarian pastimes of Advaita Acharya. All glories to Srila Advaita Acharya. All glories to his mind, grace, AC, Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.